Good afternoon. It's good to see everybody today. Good to be back. Been in Cape Town, South Africa for the last couple of weeks. So, it's just, I've been back long enough to kind of get a routine, but I still wake up kind of late for Cape Town, about 2:30 in the morning, you know. I'm still kind of going through that jet lag thing. So if I don't make a whole lot of sense, give me a little bit of grace today. I'm going to talk about Cape Town, the Congress of Nations that I went to today, based on 1 Corinthians 12. Next week, I'm going to use some of the Psalms to talk about some of the natural beauty, some of the illustrations and lessons I got from just the wildlife of Africa. We went on a three-day safari and photo safari, and so I'll have some interesting stuff next week. And then the following week, Josh Harper, who's been down here as a volunteer and helped us so much, he's taking in a teaching assignment in Kenya at a seminary, and he's made several trips to Kenya. He's going to talk to us in 3 weeks about Africa from his standpoint. So you're going to have 3 weeks on Africa. And if you don't like it, come anyway, okay? Because we'll do something different after that. We are having barbecue today. Seems like old times, you know, that McKeskis is actually going to come back next week. So if you like it today, they're going to be back next week. Invite a friend. So let's have a word of prayer and thank the Lord for the food, and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for how you love us. Father, how you chose us. Father, how you grow us, and I pray today we'll be a part of that process. We certainly thank you for the food. Thank you for the volunteers. Thank you for all the people that help us at High Point. And I pray that you'll bless every individual here today. Open their hearts, open their minds to what you have to say to them. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Paul writes to the Corinthians in the first epistle, the 12th chapter, about the diversity of the body of Christ. And he says in verses 12 and 13, he says, "For as the body is one," and here he's talking about the body, the human body, "and has many parts, not all the parts, though many, are one body, so also in Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So he's comparing the human body to the body of Christ. And I want to just take three thoughts from that. He goes on to say a lot more in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. But I want to say several things about my impressions coming back from South Africa, my impressions of what I learned there. It's the first thing is that God loves diversity. God loves diversity. I mean, when he created the human body, the eyebrow doesn't look much like the big toe, and the thumb doesn't look much like an ear. You know, it's all different. And Paul actually takes those throughout this chapter and says, you know, some of y'all are ears and some of y'all are big toes. You know, you don't look alike, you don't act alike, but you still function corporately as one body. So God loves diversity. He didn't make just one kind of flower. He made lots of different kinds of flowers. And we see that in the Christian body. We also see that in the body of Christ. It's been said that of all the religions in the world, Christianity is the one that sings. Think about that for a second. Some religions are based around chanting. Some are based around meditation. Some are based literally around self-deprivation, whipping themselves, denying themselves. A lot of religions are based around rule-keeping or are just praying. Christianity at its forefront is singing. We're a happy religion. And so when I was at this Congress, you see the parade of nations, and these photos and videos I took with my iPad, they're not certainly studio quality, but you get the idea. We had 63 different nations from around the world officially present. They had a chairman of the board, a national director. They were allowed up to 3 delegates per nation, and you see the flags that came in at the very beginning. There was a great diversity of races and languages, but there was a commonality of singing. I want to give you 3 little vignettes of singing that happened during my experience there. I think the first one actually happens on Sunday morning when the entire Congress went to this local church. It met in a concert hall, so it's a pretty big stage, a church there in South Africa. It's a multi-site campus of a larger church, and I want to give you an example of their singing, first of all right? This was Sunday morning in South Africa. So let me give you something really different now. We had a delegation from the former Soviet Union, okay? The Stans, Russia, Ukraine, all of these guys. And when their countries were recognized in the parade of flags, they recognized them by continent, and we consider Eurasia, the former Soviet Union, kind of a region or a continent. They just impromptu, it wasn't on the program or anything, the leader got up and said, "We have a song written by a pastor who was thrown in prison for preaching his faith, and we want to sing it to you." And so this is the Russian delegation. So you can see, really different. I mean, throughout the former Soviet Union. One last example I want to give you. We had a kind of a celebration at St. George's Cathedral on Thursday night where we all came together, and a local choir from South Africa led us in worship. We'll see a little bit of that. Now, did you notice three different languages, three different contexts, but they're all singing about Jesus Christ, and they're all radiant in their expression? I noticed some of the Russians were looking down at their notes, but still, they were radiant. I mean, they were diverse. And I think we've got to recognize that within the body of Christ. Paul says, some are slaves, some are free. Some are Jews, some are Gentiles. Some are men, some are women. Some are from this place, some are from that place. But we celebrate the diversity. We don't try to make everybody look the same. At the Congress, it was interesting to me, the organizer was from South Africa, from Johannesburg. The conference chair was from the Philippines. We had five regions represented: Africa, Asia, Eurasia, that's the former Soviet Union, Europe, Oceania, which is Australia, New Zealand, all the islands, and then the Americas, North and South America taken together. We had to have every word in the conference over 6 days translated into seven different major languages. So you can imagine the buzz that was going on throughout this hall where, you know, Spanish and French, everything was done in English from the stage. It was really interesting because 63 nations probably, I mean, the guy who sat next to me was fluent in three different languages. Reminded me of what D.J. James Kennedy, the founder of Evangelism Explosion, said. He said, "What do you say to someone that can speak two languages? Bilingual. What do you say to someone that can speak three languages? Trilingual. What do you call someone that can only speak one language? An American." You know, and that's kind of the way I felt. You got all these guys that are multiply fluent in all these different languages. Five regions, seven languages. In Kuala Lumpur 3 years ago, we had 30 nations that met 12 qualifying standards to be a multiplying nation within our organization. We had 30 nations that made that rose to that level. This time we had 63 nations that have a national director, a board of directors, recognized by their government. I mean, that's a high bar for some of these places, and we had to do some workarounds, and I'll tell you about those in a little bit. 63 different nations. And so as those people came up to me and were talking to me and wanting a photo with me and all that kind of stuff, I just thought, wow, how diverse is the body of Christ? How diverse? I mean, we're pretty diverse in here, but in Cape Town, it really stood out to me that this gospel, Paul says, is going to be preached, or Jesus said, this gospel is going to be preached around the world. And I literally got to see that last week. God loves diversity. Three examples I want to give you of that. One is, and I'm not going to say names. I will say countries because some of these guys are underground. But the next slide is a guy that is really involved. He's a personal friend. He and I had lunch together. He is basically the flag bearer for Cuba. Think about that for a second. You know, I mean, Americans were denied even travel to Cuba not too long ago. Christianity has been forced underground in Cuba for years and years and years. I have a guy I work with on staff at another organization who is Cuban by ancestry, and he has a great love for the work that's going on there. He told me, and I've not really done the research on this, so don't prove me wrong, it's just a great story. He said that the underground church movement in Cuba began to flourish and grow, and Fidel Castro felt threatened. So he said, you can have these churches in homes, you just can't have them bigger than 40. Okay, so what happened is when they grew to 40, they had to create two churches. All right, then he saw that wasn't working because they were basically dividing and multiplying, and he says, okay, you can't have a church over 30. Well, that just made the multiplication go faster. And then he said, no, it's got to be 20. And now, it's hard to believe this, but the Ministry of Evangelism Explosion in Cuba is the largest in our organization in all of South America or the Caribbean. I looked up the statistics of a recent year. They have 168 churches on the island actively sharing their faith through EE. Think about this. I mean, we go out and we're afraid as Christians to knock on a stranger's door. What if you knock on a stranger's door and he's a member of the Communist Party and you get arrested? I mean, that's what they run into in Cuba. About 168 churches. They did 25 organized training clinics for pastors. They have 23 full-time staff members in Cuba doing nothing but evangelism explosion. And they have another office staff involving 23. That's far and above more than any other South American or Caribbean country. And a lot of it is this guy right here. He not only is the national director of EE, he's head of a seminary. He's Mr. Do-It-All. That's one guy I met. Great guy. Pray for Cuba when you think about this. Second guy I had the privilege of knowing, and I've served with this guy for a while. He's the guy on the right. The guy on the left, by the way, to my right, your left, is the head of Evangelism Explosion, John Sorensen. He's the president of the organization. The guy on my left, your right, is a guy by the name of Rod Story. Rod, about 30 years ago, was told by his pastor in Sydney, Australia, you need to go and find out what this green book is about called Evangelism Explosion. He traveled to Coral Ridge. Now he's the international field training director. He's like the senior vice president of Evangelism Explosion. And his pastor, 30 years ago, just retired as the archbishop of the Anglican Church in Sydney, Australia. So, you know, fast forward, this guy, Rod, on the right, Australian accent. I remember there was a clinic. I'm not sure he was one of the guys, but there were seven Australians there. And Dr. Kennedy said, I want to see if you're really from Australia. And it's just a big group like this. And he singles them out. And he goes, tell me, what's a bison? And the guy stood up. He goes, that's what you wash your face in. So Rod has that wonderful Australian accent, you know. And he literally travels around the world training people, training field workers, international field workers, and as much as any one person, he's responsible for the Congress being really what it was. A real diverse background from the guy from Cuba, still united in the body of Christ. Let me give you a third guy. This was my prayer partner. The guy, again, you see John Sorensen on the right, I'm on the left. His executive assistant is the lady in the middle. The other guy, I'm not going to say his name. I'm not even going to tell you what country he's from, other than it's a part of the former Soviet Union. His grandparents were relocated from kind of the northern Korea area, you know, just that part of Russia that's just north of North Korea. His grandparents were forcibly relocated by Stalin to where he lives now. Okay, think about that. So his dad was born where he lives now. He was born where he lives now. Speaks fluent Russian, fluent English, fluent Korean and then fluent whatever the local dialogue is that I'm not going to tell you, okay? But he is a pastor of a local church. He is the national director of the ministry within his area. Four kids, wife. He showed me pictures, beautiful kids. I said, let me ask you something. Are you ever afraid? Are you ever afraid? Are you in danger of being put into prison? And he looked at me with a smile. He said, if they enforce the law, I would go to prison tomorrow. Think about that for a second. He said, most of what I do is absolutely illegal in the place that I live. But he said, the tall grass gets cut. I just keep my head down. I just keep on doing what the Lord wants me to do. And I have to trust myself with him. And I thought, you know, how comfortable I have it that I can show up here at 1010 Lamar on every Wednesday and boldly preach whatever I want to preach, you know, pretty much. I mean, you guys would push back, I guess, on some stuff. But basically, I have the freedom of talking about Jesus Christ. And I have to worry about a police officer coming in here and arresting me for it, yet at least. But he lives in fear of that every single day. But let me tell you, guy is joyful. You get to know somebody when you pray with them. And we prayed together every morning. And he is carrying the banner of Christ. Rod Story, a guy from Cuba, guy from the former Soviet Union, very different. United in one mission. United in doing something that they believe matters for eternity. Let's go on. God not only created diversity within the body, God loves unity. And that was Paul's second point. He said, we're like members of the body, we're all different, but we have one spirit, we have one mission, we have one body that we're a part about. God loves diversity, but he desires unity. It's difficult to have unity sometimes. You have difficult people you work with. I heard about an HR director that interviewed a potential employee for a candidate for an employee. And it was just a bad interview. I mean, it was just, you know, nothing about this person was right. And so when the HR director began to dismiss the person without promising them a job, they got really angry and kind of started verbally pushing back, like, what's the matter? Why aren't you going to hire me? Where's the job? I want to go to work. The HR director said this, to be honest, we're not currently hiring abrasive, opinionated, rude people. But if that changes, we'll be sure to get in touch. I mean, you know, you had the problem. It's kind of like Lucy in the Peanuts comic strip. She goes, I love the world. It's people I can't stand. And so sometimes within the body of Christ, we love the idea of diversity as long as everybody thinks the same way we do, right? We love the idea of a diversity, but we have a problem with unity. Now, let me define unity for you. Unity is not union. Okay, union does not guarantee unity. You can be the member of a church and worship together on Sunday and hate each other's guts. I mean, union, being in the same place at the same time, does not define unity, right? I mean, in your office, we all work together, we show up at basically the same time and go home at basically the same time, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're unified. Unity is not union. Unity is not uniformity. It does not mean that we have to all look the same, talk the same, say the same thing. It's not uniformity. You look at the guys in the picture here. We have representatives there. These are delegates. These are either national board chairmen or national directors of these different nations. Kenya, Kazakhstan, Mali, and New Zealand. Again, you see the diversity, but these guys, they got that picture because they were hanging out together. Also, they kind of dress weird, but they hung out together, and there was a great commonality. For a group that was that diverse, 63 different nations, I can't remember 3 or 4 days where I've been together where there were as much friendly interchange, lack of friction, and just genuine love for one another. It's like a family reunion. Some of these guys have interacted with each other over the years. This is the 50th anniversary, of Evangelism Explosion. So some of them have a real long history. But unity is not based on just being in a room together. It's not based on looking the same. Listen to this. Unity is not unanimity. That is agreeing on every operational detail. It was interesting to me that we have the same gospel to proclaim, but they do it really differently in Swaziland than they do in Oklahoma. They have different practices, different customs, different ways of doing things. We just had to have this weird buffet, if you can imagine trying to feed all these people, right? We just had this weird buffet. And about 20% of the stuff that was on that buffet, I was going, holy cow, is somebody going to eat this? You know, this is awful. But then I would see someone just, you know, scarf it up. They just love that was their deal. It's not agreement on every detail. And let me just say to you, in your own local church, don't be a problem with your pastor. You know, don't be a problem for your pastor by feeling like your pastor has to agree with you on every single thing. I saw a big poster of a rhinoceros, you know, pretty fearsome looking things, and he was looking straight on into the picture. And the caption says, I may have my faults, but being wrong isn't one of them. I mean, I've got deacons like that, right? You know, it's just my way or the highway. So please don't feel like everyone in your church has to agree with you, style of music, topic of the sermon, time it starts, temperature in the worship center. Don't feel like everybody has to agree on every single detail in order to be unified. Sometimes we use these outside parameters to define our own unity. Biblically, unity is none of those things. It's certainly not being in the same place. These are from 63 different countries. It's not being uniform. They all look different. It's not being agreement on every single detail. Let me tell you what unity, according to the Bible, is. It's visible cooperation. It is uniting together to change the world, to share the good news, to proclaim the gospel, to accomplish the mission. Our unity in Christ is spirit-fueled, and it's Bible-centered. Visible cooperation communicating the good news. We've been together 50 years now in this organization. Started off when I was first involved with about 12 staff. Now they're 1,200. We had about 5 training events the first year I was involved in EE. There are 2,500 this year. I could have counted the churches. I mean, I could have listed the churches that were involved when I got started. This year, worldwide, there are over 50,000 churches doing this together. And through the cooperative efforts of all these people in the training events alone, in those 2,500 training events, there were 8 million professions of faith recorded worldwide. And some of the areas that had the greatest harvest of souls were places like mainland China and Indonesia, India. Places that we would think are hard soil for the gospel. But because these people are so dedicated to communicating the good news of Jesus Christ, we're seeing great things around the world. Last thing, we'll get you out on time, promise. Not only does God create diversity, He loves unity, but it's focused around grace. The chaplain of the Queen of England at a meeting of world leaders, maybe not unlike some of this diversity we see here, said grace is an acrostic. G-R-A-C-E stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. We've got some good news. And, you know, sometimes people are fed a steady dose of bad news. Heard about a doctor that called up a patient who had been out of town for a little while, and he says, your results of your tests are in. I've got some bad news and some worse news. And the guy goes, well, let's go with the bad news first. He says, you have 48 hours to live. He said, the test came back, and you have 48 hours to live. And he said, what could possibly be the worst news? He said, I've been trying to get a hold of you for 24. There's a picture of me up here giving one of the early keynote addresses in the Congress. It was a great privilege of mine as chairman of the Board of Trustees for Evangelism Explosion to kind of set the tone of where we've been, how the ministry's grown, where we're going, and to look out across this sea of faces and talk to them about the thing that brings us together is communicating the gospel, that heaven is a free gift. It can't be earned or deserved. that we're all sinners. We cannot save ourselves. It's not a matter of being pretty good to go to heaven. That's because God loves us and he doesn't want to punish us, but he's just and he has to punish sin. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ. All three of those singing groups, Swahili and Russian and I don't know what the third language, they're all singing about Jesus and what he did. He died on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And today's in heaven to show that he's purchased a place. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you that I offer as a free gift. And then communicating the best news of all. Not bad news, not worse news, but good news. And that good news is that Jesus is alive, wants to have a relationship with you, and you can receive that by faith. I want to show you one more video. We were at this celebration on Thursday night at St. George's Cathedral, and this line of guys come walking in white suits with shaved heads, and I looked at Bonnie and I go, something special is going to happen. This was the prison choir from Portsmore Prison, where Mandela was incarcerated for all those years out on Robben Island. These are guys, while in prison, that came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And now they sing about him. Now, you're not going to understand what they're saying. But these guys, we ask, how many of you have been trained in EE? And hands went up. How many of you love Jesus? Hands went up. These guys are a trophy of grace, incarcerated in a prison, who found Jesus Christ. If you can't understand the words, and you're probably not, because I don't, pick up on their spirit, okay? Let's see the last video, and then I'll close in prayer. You get their spirit. You get their enthusiasm. Enthusiasm literally means God in you. Theos in you. That's enthusiasm. And we have something to be excited about because Jesus Christ changes lives in Houston, Texas, and all around the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the goodness and the grace that you have bestowed upon us. And Father, if there's anyone here that has never had business with you, never made a decision to accept you as Savior, I pray that, Father, they would talk to us, stay around afterwards, ask us a question, help us to deal with that further. Because, Father, the best news, the greatest news, the good news that we have to share here and all around the world is that Jesus is alive and he wants to have a relationship with us. Thank you, Father, for the picture of Paul in 1 Corinthians that we are different, but we're called together for one body. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless. We'll see you next Wednesday.